Today's story of the Canaanite mother is at its heart an essentially challenging, potentially disturbing, and possibly disorienting story with two core questions. Did the Canaanite mother that Matthew describes pass a test she didn't know that she was taking? Or did Jesus pass a test that he didn't know that he was taking? I know the second question sounds unlikely, but it's there anyway for us to contemplate. It's more traditional to question that the mother passed the test she didn't know that she was taking. If that's true, then Jesus was fudging a bit about being only for Israel. Honestly, I'm not comfortable with Jesus fudging even a little bit. It's more traditional to say that Jesus is completely in control of the scene. If that's true, then Jesus' suggestion that the mother was analogous to a dog was at best unkind and was at worst insulting, but consistent with Israel's view of the world. Honestly, I'm not comfortable with Jesus' limitation to the worldview of Israel. Paul hints at that in his letter to the Romans. Would it soften the insult to know that the Greek word used in the story that we translate into English as dog actually refers to a rather cute puppy? Honestly, that wouldn't soften it for me. And I don't accept it as an accurate interpretation that Jesus blithely tests the mother's true faith, then dresses her down with the truth about herself that she's an outsider and her Canaanite status, and then, in the end, lifts her. Lifts her with a fantastic promise. Jesus' teaching these last few Sundays pictures God's character as extravagant and lavishing. Extravagant and lavishing love and grace freely, so freely. Is it probable that Jesus forgot this reality when he crossed the border? Of course not. The interpretation that Jesus passed the test is as unsatisfying as it is unbecoming. It's clear from last week's story that Jesus is God. God doesn't do tests. Honestly, though, I'm intrigued, thrilled, really, by the thought that Jesus' mission is stretching and enlarging when he meets a sorrow-filled Canaanite mother who herself is an example of all that Jesus has been teaching about since leaving Galilee, certainly since feeding 5,000, and many more than that, hungry people. Is Jesus only for the people of God called Israel? Or is Jesus' mission much greater and more than that? Is something greater at stake in this story? The Canaanite mother's great trust is not a thing to be measured or compared to something else. Though I would point out that Jesus pointed out the measly trust Peter displayed as he was flailing around in the rough waters in last week's story of Jesus walking on water. Remember the rock going down like a rock in the water. Should we measure our faith like we measure our IQ? Some of us are below average, others average, while others are incredibly above average. Of course, everyone at Lansdale United Methodist Church is incredibly above average. Is that what faith, trust, and loyal love are about? Measuring? Should we put the mother's trust in Jesus on a scale and measure it like flour against the disciples' trust? Trust, loyalty, isn't about amounts. Remember what Jesus said you can do with just a few tiny mustard seeds. If we learn anything from Peter's measly faith, then faith is about taking on heartwarming courage in Christ when we are in fear and doubt. And believing Christ is truly living in God's extravagant character. Jesus is God showing up for us, showing us how God wants us to live, by seeing how Jesus lives. Now, desperation and anguish gave rise to the mother's deep trust in Jesus. Her courage fuels her determination to fight for her daughter's life. And she wasn't about to let Jesus off the hook until her daughter was well and whole again. Her heartwarming courage demanded, in a respectful way, that she wouldn't allow herself to be dismissed, even by the Son of God. The mother's daughter needs a blessing that the mother believed could only come from Jesus. She called him the Son of David. She somehow knew who he was. Truly, you are God's Son. Mothers and fathers, they go all out. They do anything they can to heal their child. When I was 8 or 9 years old, I had a one-bike accident resulting from a pedal puncturing my left calf right down to the thick blue artery. My parents, when I got home, I showed them the hole in my leg. They scooped me up. They whisked me off to Jean's Hospital emergency room, and my father panicked. He panicked, and in his panic, he started offering to donate some flesh from his body to put in the wound on my leg. He was standing there in front of the doctor. He was pinching his left side. He was begging the doctor to take his flesh. And the doctor assured my dad that it wasn't necessary, as she, a sweet, diminutive Indian doctor, began carefully with a probe, flapping up my skin again and closing the wound with vertical mattress sutures. I know that because as an 8 or 9 year old, I asked her what she was doing. And she said, "I'm suturing you with vertical mattress sutures." Some things you just never forget. Parents, mothers especially, they'll maul doctors and nurses and technicians, anyone who will not immediately respond to their child's needs. There's a powerful scene of ferocious mother love in the film called Terms of Endearment. It's a very powerful scene. Daughter Emma's pain caused by cancer is agonizing her as she awaits her next scheduled dose of morphine. But the shot was 10 minutes late in coming. So her mother, Aurora, gently takes matters into her own hands, but firmly reminds the nurses sitting at the station that her daughter's shot is 10 minutes late. One by one, each nurse says to her, "She's not my patient, ma'am," which infuriates Aurora. Mother Aurora goes into a rage, screaming, "Give my daughter the shot! Give her the shot! Give her the shot!" Finally, a rattled nurse gets the injection, as Aurora then gently thanks her. Nothing stops a mother from saving her child. You know, Jesus had a mother who stretched her son to do something about wine running out at a wedding reception in Cana of Galilee. At first, protesting, Jesus then does what his mother wishes. Mothers stretch their children. I sometimes wonder if Jesus thought about his mother at that moment when he was with the Canaanite mother. Was Jesus stretched by this mother too, to enlarge the circle of extravagant love to the outsiders? Did the Canaanite mother push Jesus' timetable up just a bit so that it would include her daughter? Was Jesus' mission perfecting along the way? Does the mission of the church stretch over time? Was it an outsider, a stranger, who persuades Jesus to reconsider the boundaries of his mission and his blessing? I would answer all these questions in the affirmative. Yes. Here's what this critical story says. A Canaanite mother sought out the Son of God, the Son of David, who was at first dismissed by her, who first dismissed her, and then blessed her by healing her sick child. The mother is more to Jesus than an outsider. She's a person. She's a person with all sorts of needs and concerns and hurts and interests. The great trust she demonstrates was for her child, who she wouldn't allow Jesus to dismiss without a challenge. She wouldn't be dismissed even by the Son of God. Too many, many, many people are dismissed. The church dismisses too many people. Imagine sensing that a church you're attending hasn't any interest in you as a person who has all kinds of needs and concerns as passions. They have no real concern because you're gay or you're divorced or you're a single parent or an addict or an undocumented alien or this or that or another thing. Imagine that this church you've been attending views your value in your potential as a member or as a giving unit. Some people might simply walk away, but others might be tenacious. To be seen and valued for who they are, just like the Canaanite mom. It's essential to our well-being as people and as a church to see people around us as people who might stretch us or inspire us or even teach us. This point of view isn't a church growth strategy. It's a way of living. It's a way of living authentically as Christians. If a church ever thinks it needs a new vision, well, here it is. Reach for the people who haven't been reached by any other church in the borough, in the town, in the city. Live the mission and give the blessing by reaching for disciples for Jesus Christ and the transformation of the world. Did the Canaanite mother's trust in action bring compassion to your heart for her and her daughter? It did for me. A mother who wouldn't be discouraged, she grabs an opening and says to the Son of God, "Yes, Lord, but even yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's tables." She is deemed by Christ as a lost sheep of the house of Israel right then and there, because she has, out of great love for her daughter and with great trust in the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Christ, she has striven with God's Son, and she got what she desired. And what did Jesus say? O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Those words, O woman, Jesus only used one other time in all of the Gospels. You know where he said it. He said it at the marriage feast of Cana, when he addressed his mother, as woman. And Matthew tells us the mother's daughter found her healing right then and there. How many people seek that healing today? When we all get to heaven, and as the Apostle Paul tells the Romans that all means all in our reading today, I fully expect to meet the Canaanite mother. My first question to her, what's your name? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.